You're listening to There You Go with Jericho Keys on Southside Broadcasting.
Good afternoon, Jericho Keys here on Southside Broadcasting with another There You Go. How's everyone coming down for the Olympics then? I miss watching people I've never heard of, playing sports I'd never usually watch, as Liam Frey of the Cartoon has put it on Twitter earlier this week. Don't worry, I'll try and fill that void within the next hour and make life worth living once again. Coming up, we'll be speaking to Ant David of York Band Plans about the Olympic tunes he and Plans' other half, Ben Sutton, have been writing during the Games and how they juggle their musical endeavours with key stage shenanigans. Robert Nichols will be telling us his recommendations in the area with his hashtag Robert Nichols Recommendations. Andrew Woodgaff will be joining us with Fish and Park News, my singer of the week, an album review, and a random song from the album Bible. But let me just take you back. Have a think. Where were you 35 years ago yesterday? Crying into your pillow, probably. It was 35 years ago that the King, Mr. Elvis Presley, left the building.
You know I can be found sitting on one door.
Thank you very much. Next we'll be joined by Ant David from Plans, who write catchy tunes with warm and complimentary acoustic guitar singers with some electric bits thrown in and combined with a tight vocal melody, which have you humming along. They've also been penning Olympic theme tunes such as Sideburn, Superman, Golden Girl and The Mowboat. See if you can work out who they are after Drama.
And understanding when you're talking, I'm not hearing what you're saying.
Oh, we love the drama. Oh, we love the drama.
We all love the drama indeed. And good afternoon, Ant.
Hiya, how you doing?
I'm very well, how are you?
Yeah, pretty good, thanks.
Thanks for joining us on There You Go. How are you enjoying your summer holidays so far?
Yeah, they're going pretty fast as usual.
In the intro to the show, I said that yourself and Ben are primary school teachers. How did your
paths... Yeah, that's right, yeah.
How did your paths cross and how did you decide to make some music together?
Well, we've known each other since secondary school, really. And we've played in sort of various bands and bits and pieces when we were kids back then, and pubs and clubs in York and stuff. And then we kind of went our own separate ways to go to uni. And eventually both decided to be primary teachers and found our way back to York and then decided to sort of get back playing together, really. And I guess being teachers, the holidays kind of stack up, so it's a good sort of thing to get your mind out of work, really, and keep up the music there. So,
would you ever like to make a career of it and pack all that teaching malarkey in?
Oh, yeah, we all, yeah. No, we love it. We love making music and gigging, and I suppose going out and playing live is the best part. But, I mean, we enjoy the teaching as well. It's a great job to have. And But I suppose if something came along and meant that we could do music for a living, then yeah, we'd take that, yeah.
And do you ever play in front of the kids, like School of Rock or like a Harvest Festival?
Oh, yeah, of course. Every day is a concert, absolutely, yeah. They're a willing audience to sit and listen. So, no, we do. Primary school teachers who are men, and especially those who can play guitar and piano, are like gold dust. So, we get asked to play for all sorts of things in school, and I sit there and play piano in all the shows and worships and festivals, Harvest festivals and whatever else that they do. So, yeah, I slipped a couple of our own in as well, just to see how it goes down.
You'll be the legend of the school, I think. I think all kids will want to be you.
Well, yeah. I suppose they can aspire to better things, but at least.
Your music definitely has like a folk and country like angle. Would you agree? And was that an intention?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can hear that in I guess, the kind of things we listen to. We listen to loads of different stuff, but yeah, we're into a folk and country, definitely. But I suppose when we write stuff, we tend to write, or I certainly have to write something with a bit of a story to it, which is country music. So country music has a story. I wouldn't say I was an abstract songwriter, you know, these people that can sit down and write about, I don't know, the clouds and cups of tea and all that and link it all together somehow. But I have to start with a something that's either happened or something that we make up that's happened and go from there, really. I have to tell it as a kind of story. So I guess that's where the kind of the inspiration comes from, and the elements of country and folk kind of come from that, I guess.
Yeah, and how do the songs come together? Do you write, like, the lyrics first, or does the music come? Or do you just contribute?
Yeah, I guess we just kind of see how it goes. I mean, we both write separately, mostly, and then we'll kind of bring it to a practice and say, this is what I've got, and then we'll work on it together and make it more polished from there. And occasionally we'll come together and we'll do something more together, like a few stuff that we've done. We said, right, we're going to write a song today, let's take something that's happened or something that's been in the news or something that's happened to one of us, and then we'll work on it together. And we might go off and say, right, you write a verse each and we'll come back and we'll put together a chorus together. But I guess it could either come from one sort of stem as a lyric, or it could come as a little chord sequence. Mm. I think quite often you're sort of faffing about on the guitar and think, oh, that sounds all right, what could go with that? And go from there. So it could be anything, you know, not one particular way of writing a song. It's whatever happens and, you know, whenever it comes. And more often than not, you find that a song, I guess, happens pretty quickly. If you work for too long on a song, then it just becomes like you get sick of hearing it and it needs to be still fresh. So the good ones that come out that we don't bin, they work out pretty quick.
Sounds like a very organic process. And you're saying that one day you might say, oh, let's write a song. And I know that you've been writing some Olympic tunes during the games, such as Sideburn Superman, Golden Girl, and the Mobot. What's been the public's reaction to those? And what get the inspiration to do them?
Well, that's exactly how those came about. I mean, we got back one day. We said in this six-week holiday, we said, right, we've got to write some new stuff and record some new stuff. Because, I mean, who gets 6 weeks of time? No one does. So that sort of time is golden, really. So we sat down to write, and, of course, with the Olympics being on, we thought, well, let's write about that just for a bit of change, and then, you know, we might catch a bit of the public, because all the eyes are on the Olympics. Mm. We'd not heard that anyone else had written stuff about it. And at the time, it was at the beginning when the Bradley Wiggins one was the first song we did.
Sideburn Superman.
We came in one day, that's it, yeah. And that was sort of like our start, really. I think Ben started playing about on the guitar and then came up with the Sideburn Superman thing. And then, like I say, we both went off and we wrote a verse about hiking and going for gold and all this sort of business. And then it kind of came together from there. I don't think we ever set out to think, right, we're going to do all this Olympic stuff. And it just kind of happened without us realizing it. So we did that first, stuck it on Twitter, tweeted several thousand people. And we got a good response, actually. We put it up on SoundCloud. And within, I don't know, 4 or 5 days, we had about 300 odd listens, and some local news got back to us. And actually, we had a if people go on, I'm sure we'll mention the website and everything later on, but you'll see that it's all been illustrated, and the illustrations are absolutely amazing. And we got that through Twitter. It's all about building your community. And this illustrator came back to us, she's called Skelly Illustration, and said, yeah, I'd be up for doing something that represents that particular single. And it just came back, and it was absolutely perfect, just what we were looking for. So we thought, right, well, we'll do three of them. We'll make it a little trilogy. We'll pick three of them, and we'll have this illustrator illustrate them. And it came together nicely. It worked out well.
And who knows, you could be writing the Rio theme, the soundtrack of the nation, you could be next.
Well, you never know. We've got Paralympics next, so we'll have to see. We might do something for that. But, I guess it's like, give me the song to write, and we'll have a go at writing it. But we'll have to see. But we enjoyed this one. And, I mean, like you say, it's something that captures a bit of interest, isn't it? And then gets a bit of the ball rolling, and if people enjoy it, and I don't think it's something that they can do over and over again. It's of the moment, but hopefully it might lead them on to sort of the original stuff that we do. And actually, someone came down to our gig the other night that we did in we played in Leeds, and someone was randomly there that heard that we were playing from following us on Twitter because of the Olympic stuff we did. So it kind of all leads on and snowballs, hopefully.
Who said social networking wasn't a good tool?
Well, exactly. I mean, I wasn't convinced about Twitter when I had a personal account, and I thought, who's going to want to listen to me ranting on about, you know, what I'm doing on a Sunday afternoon reading the paper or something? But when it comes to a band, and it's like a mega mailing list, and you've got millions of people out there that you can just mail shot, and you can go and specify who you go out to, people that you know are going to be interested, that follow some venues that you play at, or that follow other bands that you've supported. And it's been a bit of an eye opener actually, how you can really use it as a bit of a PR and promotional tool. So it seems to be working out at the moment.
That's exactly right, because I've never been a fan of it ever, and I was badgered into getting a Twitter for this show basically, and I stumbled upon you via Twitter, and thank God I got it, because you know, I'm not out the loop.
Well, exactly, and it works the same both ways, doesn't it? We would have never got this interview if we hadn't have been on there. So it definitely works out for anyone. I mean, as I say, the personal accounts I'm not so sure about, unless you're Stephen Fry or Lady Gaga or something.
Right, yeah.
Certainly it's been working out for us, so we're going to carry on with Twitter, and you can find us on Facebook and everything else as well. And it's a way of bringing people together into a community, isn't it?
Of course it is.
I mean, we're not going to make millions out of it yet. We're not selling our music. Every piece of music we put online is for free. We just want people to come and listen, to enjoy it, come and join us, come and say hello, come and see us at a gig, and just to sort of bring people together that like similar stuff and just have a bit of a good time, really.
Definitely. So tell me about the showcasing to Guy Chambers, Mr. Robbie Williams' little right-hand man, and the Enemy.
Yeah.
Enemy, how did all that come about?
The Guy Chambers one was a competition we did when we were back, was it around about university time or something? In fact, I think it might have been my lecturer who put us forward. I mean, because we wrote whilst I was at uni as well, and I did a music technology course at uni. And the guy who ran my course said, you know, this stuff's pretty good. And he wanted us to enter into this songwriters competition. And I think it was, I don't know, half a dozen or so universities that did similar courses. Each got to select some songwriters from their course, and it all got put together. And then the finalists, there must have been about maybe six of us, got to come and play at LIPA, the Performing Arts College in Liverpool.
Yeah.
And, Guy Chambers was on the panel. He came along and listened to us, and it was just a good old experience, just to play for someone who was in the business. And, we had a good time. So that was that. I mean, nothing obviously came of it, but it's all building up experience. And the NME stuff was another competition thing. I think we're just always looking for anything that comes up, unsigned stuff that you can go and upload your music to. And then they got hold of us and invited us to come and play at somewhere in Manchester, the big square in Manchester. And it was sponsored by NME and Lee Jeans, of all people. So we got to go to this gig in Manchester, put on a show, and we got fully outfitted, and we got all our jeans and T-shirts for free. So that's about as rock and roll as it got for us.
Who can complain about that?
Well, exactly, free jeans. I think I've still got them. Best pair of jeans I've owned. So if Lee Jeans are listening, give us another shout.
Have you been approached by any labels or any management to take you under your wing?
No, nothing like that. I mean, there's so many people out there trying to do it. There's so many singer-songwriters, and especially, you know, now, I mean, I guess from what I can remember, it's probably all kicked off with Damien Rice maybe about 10 years ago when he came out. He was the first person to really go for the singer-songwriter thing over in the UK. But then so many people are following his footsteps, and now with people like Ed Sheeran, you know, everyone's picking up an acoustic guitar and playing and recording music, and because it's so easy to do. You know, we've got a home studio set up, but I'm sure everyone is doing the same thing. Is for a few hundred quid, you can get a decent home studio set up, record your stuff, publish yourself online for free, get yourself on Twitter, there's your mailing list, and you can do it all. So for all, you know, there must be so many thousands of people trying to do it. So I think the key is that we're not so much looking for that elusive record deal anymore. I mean, maybe we did when we were kids. It's what you wanted. Yeah, let's go for a big major label or something, and we'll rock up outside and we'll camp outside till someone listens to us and give them their CD, our CD. But I don't know if it works like that anymore. Now it's so easy to do yourself. Why not just sort of go and aim it at the people that you want to listen to, that you think will enjoy it, that you want to be in your little community, and you can do it all and go from there. And then if eventually people are willing to pay and support you, then, you know, that's a bonus. But I think for us, I don't think it's something that we're looking for. I mean, having said that, if EMI came knocking on our door, then we'd have a chat with them, that's for sure. But I don't know, I think the record industry is changing, isn't it? And I think you can do it. You can do a lot of it yourself now. So, and you keep all your control then, you keep all your rights. So that's what we're doing at the minute, and we're happy with that.
If EMI came to the door with a pair of Lee jeans, I'm sure you'd succumb.
Oh, we'd be straight in there, yeah. The jeans would just seal the deal for us.
talking about your stuff, how can people hear your stuff and how can people keep up to date with what you're doing?
Right, well, all the stuff that we've done that's worth listening to is on plansmusic.co.uk, and that's, as I say, all up there for free. The Olympic stuff's up there for free. Other stuff that we've done recently is all up there for you to download. If you want to come and join us on Twitter, it's at PlansTDC, because at the time we set up that Twitter account, we weren't sure if we'd keep that name or not, but we've decided on it now, but we're still keeping that Twitter, PlansTDC. And Facebook's Plans Music as well, so facebook.com/plansmusic. So if you go for Plans Music, you can't go wrong, and it's all up there for free, and you'll find out about our gigs and stuff on Twitter and Facebook, I think, really.
Ant, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you. Thanks for joining us.
No, thanks ever so much for having us. It's been lovely to talk to you. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Would you like to, we've just played Drama. Would you like to introduce the next song, please, to play us out?
Yeah, this is another one that's up there on plansmusic.co.uk, and this one's called Closed Off.
You tried your best to hide the fact that you found that place where you saw a spark and lit up in the dark. And took you ever since then. You've wanted to be right back there when you could feel the rush. It wasn't asking much. I'm not closed off to another way of living the life that we've got. Another way of seeing the light.